All right, good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Meseches Chulin, Shachiyanu, Vikimanu, Vigyanu, Lazman Hazeh. Mazel Tov to those who are Messiah, Meseches Menachos. A welcome to those who are joining and rejoining us now, Baruch Hashem, for Meseches Chulin. You know, part of the beauty of Daf Yomi is that, you know, Rosh Hashanah comes at the beginning of every new Masechta. Right? So meaning, just like Rosh Hashanah represents the opportunity for amnesty, new starts, whatever you did last Masechta, didn't do last Masechta. So ultimately, again, when Daf Yomi comes and there's a new Masechta, you remember, she's like a little bit of Rosh Hashanah, a little bit of Chodesh Elul, a little bit of a new beginning, new starts, new opportunities. And we feel that with Chulin. Our first Daf is sponsored by Greg and Rachel Levitan in gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the birth of a granddaughter, to their children, Sarah and Chesky Schwartz of Los Angeles, California. We wish the Levitans a mazel tov, and you should be zocha legadla l'torah l'chupa u'lema'asim tovim. Shkaya for the sponsorship. And of course, our shir is dedicated by Sammy and Malka Esterson in commemoration of the yard sites of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel and Hinda Esterson. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. We'll say with that, let's begin. Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Meseches Chulin. So we'll say, we begin now, as you're going to see, with some incredible and beautiful Gemaras. Says the Mishnah, Bosei, and we're going to see, just to give you kind of a little bit of a foreshadow, Meseches Chulin is filled with incredible halachas. Halachas of Shchita, Basar, Bechalav, Ta'aroves, a variety of different things. So we begin with the halachas of Shchita. Hakol shochtin u'shchitas in kshera. So Bosei, the Mishnah begins by saying, everyone is permitted to shecht, and their Shchita is kosher. So of course, Bosei, we're going to see what appears to be the redundancy in the Mishnah, although we'll see it's not as much redundancy as it is, in fact, contradiction. But for our purposes right now, we'll just read the Mishnah. Kol shochtin, everyone is permitted to shecht, u'shchitasan kshera, and their shchita ultimately is kasher. Chutz, mecheresh, shote, v'katan. I will say, with the exception of a cheresh, shote, and katan. So remember, again, to define our terms, cheresh, at least for now, means deaf, mute. Shota means someone who is deranged or insane. Katan means a minor. So remember again, the assumption of all these individuals is they lack das, they lack capacity. Katan is the most obvious because of his age. Shcheresh, again, remember, the Gemara is focusing on the reality of the time. Someone who was deaf and mute was just cut off from greater society and therefore, again, lacked mental capacity. The Shota, the Gemara defines the Shota ultimately as someone who is lan bebeis hakvaras, someone who sleeps in the cemetery, rips his clothing, korolo ve'ein ona, they call out to him, and ultimately, again, he doesn't answer. So any of these, not, you don't have to be all three. It's any one of the three, meaning he's demonstrating just a certain, like, unhinged behavior. So the Gemara says a person like that ultimately, again, lacks mental capacity. Because he lacks mental capacity, ultimately his shchita will not be good. Why? Because it will say, if you lack mental capacity and you don't necessarily understand what it is that you are doing, therefore we are concerned that halacha lemaisa, you may mess up the shchita. The kulan sheshachtu, and I will say ultimately again, all of these individuals who have shechted, v'achirim roin osan, and others see the shechita, shechitas and kshera. So I will say ultimately again, the shechita will be kosher. Now, the definition or the placement of this last piece remains to be seen in the Gemara. In other words, what do we do with this? Kulan sheshachtu, v'achirim roin osan, shechitas and kshera. So, right, any of these individuals who shechted, and others see the shechita, their shechita will be kosher. Who that refers to, when it refers to, Emir Tzashem, we will see in the Gemara. Beautiful, I'll say, Mazel Tov on completing the first Mishnah of Meseches Chulin. We'll try to schedule a Siyum a couple of times. You know, we'll get back to you on that. Right? So here we go. So says the Gemara. Hakol shochtin l'chatrila, u'shchitasan k'shera di'evet. So we'll say, here's the problem. The Gemara points out that there are two different lashonos in the Mishnah. Hakol shochtin means a lashon of lechatrila. These are the individuals who lechatrila are permitted to have a license to shecht. Ushchitasun kshera, but I will say, the lashon of shchitas kshera means their shchita is kasher. That lashon is what? What does it mean when it says lashon di'eved? That means ex post facto. In other words, shchitasun kshera means if they shechted, their shchita is good. So of course the shaila becomes, which one is it? Are we talking akol shochtin means these are the people who have a license to shecht lichatchila, ushchitasen kshira. Their shchita's kasher means b'di'eved. So we're just trying to understand how do these two lashonos shtim? How exactly do they come together? Amar Rav Acha b'Rei D'Rava l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha b'Rei D'Rava said to Rav Ashi, it's not a problem. So first of all, I'm sorry, before we get to that, it's not a problem. So we'll say, Rav Acha b'Rei D'Rava asked Rav Ashi, challenges the basic assertion. You're saying that the lashon of hakol means l'chatrila. Wherever you see the lashon of the Mishnah of Hakol, everyone could do something, that means l'chatchila, you can and should do it. So the Gemara challenges that assertion. Is that in fact correct? V'chol Hakol l'chatchila hu, is every time you see Hakol, a lashon of l'chatchila, elame'ata, so we'll say the Gemara is now going to bring a couple of examples of this, where you see that Hakol is not l'chatchila. Where do you see that Hakol is not l'chatchila? Elame'ata, Hakol memirin. We'll say, listen to this. Hakol memirin, echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim. Everyone is memirin. Now we'll say, memirin refers to what? Tmura. So remember again, going back to our Menachos days, we discussed this extensively as well. So what's the halacha with tmura? So the halacha is if I set aside an animal as a karban, and then I decide, you know what? I don't want to offer up this animal as a karban. Instead, I want to swap out animal A and give animal B. What's the halacha Rabbi was saying? Vayahu usmura so kodesh lashem. Both animals become tmura. Right? Both animals become consecrated. So the Mishnah says, Hakol mamirin, everyone is able to do tmura. Echad ha'anoshim ve'echad ha'anoshim. Both men, both women. So we'll say, so obviously, hachanami to lechatchilahu. Are you going to say over here that what? That hakol means lechatchila? The lechatchila, everyone could do timura. The Rabbi said, of course we know. V'haksiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir oso tov bira o ra bitov. So Rabbi said, of course we know that is not the case. Of course we know that halacha lemaisa, the mitzvah, it is a prohibition to go ahead and do timura, right? It is a prohibition ultimately to go ahead and swap out an animal for another. And the penalty is that both animals ultimately become kodesh. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that the lashon of hakol ultimately, again, is not a lashon of lechatchila. That hakol, again, we're using hakol even in the context of something that is prohibited. V'ha ikvahaksiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroso tov bira ora bitov. The pasuk explicitly says, "You shall not exchange it, nor shall right velo yamiro." So you shall not do tmura. Remember again the prohibition of tmura. See, when we think of tmura, what we think of is why is a person making a swap? Because they decided, you know what? It's like carbon remorse. I just pledged my best animal to the Beis Hamikdash. God doesn't need it anyway, as we saw in the last daf of Maseches Menachos. It's not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's on Chem Tizbechu. It's not for God, it's for me. God doesn't need my most zaftig animal. So you know what? I do. I could use that for dinner, right? So let me go ahead and swap out, the biggest animal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give him a nice animal, but it doesn't have to be the biggest. So remember again, the pasuk says, no. Whatever the reason for the swap, whether you want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu the nicer animal or a leaner animal, either way, you can't do it. Point for us, Rabbi Osei, is that what? That hakol does not mean lechatchila. That hakol does not mean lechatchila. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam kidik tani taima. Rabbi Osei, there the Gemara explains the lashon of hakol and tells us that it means what? Lo sha adam rashei lahamir. When it says hakol mamirin, it doesn't mean to say that a person is permitted to engage in the process of tamura. Ela, rather, what does it teach me? Ela she'im hemir mumar. Rather, Rabbi Osei, what it teaches me is that if a person did engage in the process of tamura, in fact, it does work, v'sofeg es ha'arboim. And he gets malchus for engaging in the act of tamura. So Rabbi Osei, so again, challenge number one has been deflected. So remember again, we'll say, the beauty of this is we're back to just more classic shakla v'tari in the Gemara. You can hold cup in this. So remember again, we're asking a very simple question. Hakol shochtin, we assume means what? Lechatchila. So the Gemara is saying, really? Every time you see hakol,
Hakol means lechatchila.
So Gemara brings challenge number one. Hakol memirin. Everyone could do tamura. Is it lechatchila that you could do tamura? After all, tamura is an avera. But to which the Gemara says, you're right. There the Gemara explains it. Hakol memirin. Everyone has the ability to go ahead and do tamura. Lo sha'adam rasha. It doesn't mean that a person should do it. But if he did it, ultimately, again, it works. V'sovek es haraboyim. Good. Next challenge. Ella. Hakol ma'arichin v'ne'erachin. Nodrin v'nidarin. So we'll say next challenge. Everyone can make an erech vow. Now we'll say, what is ma'arichin? If you look at Rashi for just a moment, ma'arichin, it's in the wide lines, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down, 7 lines in. Ma'arichin, toras ma'arichin aleim shim, amer erki alai, or erech ploni alai, nidro kayim. So we'll say, an erech vow means as follows. The Torah ascribes an objective value to every single human being. Objective value. So if you're a male non-smoker between the ages of 20 and 60, you know, you're worth X. Right? It was a joke about the non-smoker. Okay, good morning, everyone. Right, good. Right, so if you're a female at a certain age, you're a child at a certain age, so the Torah ascribes an objective value to you. Why does the Torah ascribe an objective value? Because there's a concept of erchin. Concept of erchin means if I pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash, so how much am I worth, right? So there's two systems we'll see evaluation. There's an erech vow. So we'll say, kol ma'arichin v'ne'erachin, which means anyone can make an erech vow and anyone can be the subject of an erech vow. So for example, I can go ahead and I can pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash, or I can pledge your erech value to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, similarly, nodrin v'nidarin. Now, nodrin v'nidarin means I could vow and be the subject of that. Now, in this case over here, if I make a neder and I pledge my value, so in the context of neder, what do? We look at literally what is my value. What is my value? Now, how do we establish my subjective value? What we look at is how much could I be sold on on the open market? If I were to be sold as a servant, how much money would I fetch? Right? How much money would I fetch? How much money would I get? What are my abilities? What are my kohos? Gender plays a role. Age plays a role. Everything plays a role. That's a subjective value. So again, interestingly enough, they're both valuations of a person. But yet an erech vow is an objective valuation. The Torah gives us these values. Torah tells us that if you make an erech vow, mi'archenu, right? If you make an erech vow, a male is worth this, a female is worth this, a child is worth this, young person, old person. Neder means I'm pledging my subjective value or someone else's subjective value to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so says the Gemara. If you look at Rashi, by the way, Hakol Nodrin, Rashi says over here, Dami Alai, or Dami Alai, O Dami Ploni Alai, Vahasim Afarish Ta'aydi Dibay Lemisnag. So I will say so again, in Neder I say literally, my actual value is upon me, or someone else's value is upon me. See, here we go, Hakol Ma'arichin V'ne'erachin, anyone can make an Erech vow, and can be the subject of an Erech vow, Nodrin V'nidarin, anyone can make a neder. So again, remember, I just want to be clear. In this context, the neder means I'm making a neder to pledge my subjective value or someone else's subjective value to the Beis HaMikdash. So you're going to say over here, what do we see over here? Why are you bringing down this case? One word. Why? Hakol. So you're going to tell me, Hachanami de lechatchila? So you're going to tell me over here, is the halacha telling me de lechatchila it's good to make an erech vow or lechatchila it's good to make an erech vow? So the Gemara says, this is amazing Gemara. V'haksiv, what does the pasuk say? V'chisechtal lindar lo yebechachit. The Torah is quite explicit in telling me that what? V'chisechtal lindar, if you refrain from making a neder, lo yebechachit, you will not sin. Which Rabbosai tells me what? If I avoid nindarim, I avoid sinning, right? Because what happens a lot of times when we make promises, we don't come through on them. And I will say, listen to this, uksiv. Listen to what Shlomo HaMelech says. Tova sher lo tidar, mishe tidar velo seshalim. I will say, this is so profound. Shlomo HaMelech writes in Koheles, Tova sher lo tidar. It is better not to promise at all, mishe tidar velo seshalim, than to go ahead and what? Than to promise and not pay. And I will say, so that sounds kind of intuitive. Right? It is better to go ahead and refrain from promising. Don't make the neder than to make the neder and not pay. The Tanya, Rabbi Hussein, now watch this. And the Braisa says, Tov mizeh o mizeh. You know what's even better than all of these things? She'eno noder kol iker. Dev Rabbi Meir. Right? Rabbi Meir says, don't make promises at all. Don't make promises at all. Right? Don't make, so we'll say, so Shlomo Melech says, it's better not to vow, it's better not to vow than to vow and not come through on it. Rabbi Meir says, you know what's even better? You know what's even better? Don't vow at all. Don't vow. Now it doesn't mean don't follow through on things, and it doesn't mean don't accomplish things. It just means don't make nidar. Nabo say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Tov mizeh o mizeh. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Tov mizeh o mizeh. Minodur mishalim, minodur ve'enu mishalim, b'shinu nodur kol ikar. Shaharagil b'nidarim ba lidei lo yachal dvaro. See, Nabo say, because if a person habituates himself to make nidarim, inevitably, there's going to be some neder that he does not come through on. There's going to be something ultimately, again, that he does not follow through on. Therefore, in order ultimately to go ahead and avoid that, what do we say? Tova shalo tidor. The Braisa says, Rabbi Meir says, better not to make nidarim at all. The Meir. So we'll say, watch this. Rabbi Huda Omer, Tov mizeh umizeh, no der umishalim. Now we'll say, Rabbi Huda disagrees with Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Huda says, no. You know what's even better? What's even better is to make nidarim and to come through on your nedarim. We'll say, look at Rashi again. Rabbi Huda Omer Tov Mizeh Omer Zeh Nodur Mishalim Dehachi Mashma Tova Sher Lo Tidar Mishet Tidar Velo Teshalim Ava Mishet Tidar V'Teshalim Lo Shu Tov Mikulam. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda is picking up on Shlomo Melech's Pasuk. Shlomo Melech indicates to us that it's good to make nedarim. Also remember again, nedarim have a power to them. What's the power of nedarim? What's the power of nedarim? Is it obligates you. It obligates you to do something. So no, make nedarim. Make nedarim, but just make sure to honor nedarim. So we'll say, I just want to point out, what a yisildistic, like, life machlokes this is. Between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is saying, don't make nedarim. Don't, the best thing you could do for yourself is don't make nedarim. Of course, you should accomplish, you should do, but don't bring up the technical framework of a neder, because if you do that, you're setting yourself up for some significant problems. So, tov asher milo tidar, tov, what was the Lashon? The Lashon was, tov mizeh umizeh, she'ino noder kol ikar. Don't make nedarim. Don't make nedarim. So, Rabbi Huda says, no, make nedarim and carry through on it. Rabbi say, what's at the root of this machlokes? What's at the root of this machlokes? Rabbi says, human nature. Rabbi Meir is saying, you have to be a self-motivated person. You have to be a self-motivated person. You can't rely on the framework of a neder to accomplish things. If it needs to get done, then do it. If it has to be accomplished, then do it. Be a self-motivating person. Push yourself to accomplish what you have to do, and don't bring in the technical framework of a neder. Rabbi Huda says, what is Rabbi Huda saying? People are just not like that. People are just not. Most of us need something to push us. Most of us need something or someone, right, to push us. I need something that is a mechayiv. I need something that obligates me to show up to life. What is that thing that obligates me to show up to life? That's the neder. So we'll say, it's a fundamental yisodistic machlokis in human nature. Can I be a self-starter, or do I actually need something to push me, to motivate me to accomplish? And we'll say, now watch this. Rabbi Huda, Dovi, there are seats. There are seats. Okay. Milt, there are seats also. I think only in front now. Okay. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, Va'afid Rabbi Huda, lo ka'amar, ela. So Rabbi says, listen to this. Even Rabbi Huda. Rabbi says, remember again. So Rabbi Huda is the one who says that what? Better to make a neder and what? And what? And carry through on it. But even Rabbi Huda says better to make a neder and carry through on it. Even he qualifies that statement. Ela ba'omer hare zu. Rabbi says, the only type of neder that Rabbi Huda likes is a neder of hare zu. What's neder of hare zu? Rabbi says, before you turn the page, look at the last Rashi on the daf. Afid Rabbi Huda ablo kamar ela ba'omer hare zu. Dimesa o nignava eno chayev bachriyusa. Rabbi says, this is amazing. So Rabbi Huda, who's okay with nedarim, you know what kind of neder he's okay with? The kind of a specified neder. Now here, Rabbi says, this is by karbonos. Person says, and this animal is for a karbon. They will say, why is he okay with it? This animal is for a karbon? Because here's the good news. It's called limited liability, right? Limited carbonic liability. They both say, what's limited carbonic liability? That if you say hare zu, your carbonic liability is limited to this animal. So something happens to the animal dies, the animal runs away, the animal has, you know, cold feet, you know, whatever it is, right? You don't have to provide a replacement. You have no more achrayis. Or Abba say, or Rashi says, inami kevan da afresha sulo hadarbe. Or human nature is, once you separate out this animal as a carbon, you're not going to renege on it. So that's the kind of neder that Rabbi Huda is okay with you making. Aval, Amud Beis, Abba say, Amud Beis. Aval Omar Hare Alai, but say even Rabbi Huda's model, if a person says Hare Alai means what? I hereby take upon myself the obligation, lo. Rabbi Huda does not like that type of neder. Look at the top Rashi, base on the base. Aval Omar Hare Alai, lo. Dilma Pasha velo Mekayim. Because they will say, what's the issue over here? The issue over here is if you say Hare Alai, right, the concern here is that what? Is that maybe a person will be poshea, maybe a person will be negligent, and ultimately, again, will not be mekayim their neder. So Rashi said, Rabbi Huda Tani, no David Mishalim, Amma Ma'arichim. So we'll say, so again, we have to do the rest of that Rashi. See, even Rabbi Huda, who seems to say, I'm okay with you making nedarim, is only okay with what type of neder? A limited liability neder. Hare zu. But even Rabbi Huda does not like Hare Alai. We'll say a very even Rabbi Huda, who seems to advocate for no, make a neder as long as you're mishaling. Even he is saying, I'm only okay with that, where there's a strong probability that you're going to fulfill the neder, like a hare zu, but not a hare alai. So we'll say, so again, so remember, what do you see from here? You see from here once again, remember how is the lashon of nidarim introduced? Hakol ma'arichem v'ne'arachan, nidrin nodrin v'nidarim. Again, lashon of hakol. And yet, is hakol lechatchilo? Is hakol lechatchilo? No. So I will say. So therefore, again, what we begin to see. Remember, the Gemara point. The Gemara wanted to say that hakol shochtin refers to some group of yet to be identified people who are permitted to shech lechatchilo. To which the Gemara has successfully shown now at this point in time that hakol does not necessarily mean lechatchilo. Hakol does not mean lechatchilo. To which I will say. So now the Gemara reverses. So now the Gemara says Ella. So the Gemara says, "V'chol hakol lav lechatchilu." So I say, "So now you're telling me that hakol does not mean lechatchilu?" But now I'm going to bring you another series of shailas. Ella, hakol chayavin besukah, hakol chayavin betzitzis. Hachinami de lav lechatchilu. So I will say, so again, you just brought me a whole bunch of examples of where hakol is not used in the lechatchilu dika context. I'm going to bring you now. So now, fine. The conclusion you reach is that hakol does not mean lechatchilu. I'm going to bring you now other examples of where what? Where hakol does mean lechatchila. Hakol chayav in betzitzis. Hakol chayav in besukah. Which Rabbi say does mean lechatchila. So what's going on over here? To which the Gemara says, no. Chayavin lo ka'amina. No, you're not comparing apples and oranges. Right? So we'll say, hakol chayavin, that chayavin is a very important modifier. Right? Where you have chayavin, then hakol definitely means lechatchila. Anytime you find hakol chayavin, anyone is obligated, then ultimately, again, you are certain, then that means lechatchila. Elamei ata, so we'll say, so again, remember, this is amazing. All we're trying to do right now is define terms. We have not even gotten into the substance of the Mishnah right now. We're just trying to figure out hakol shochtin. What does that statement mean? Are we talking about people who are shechting lechatchila, bidyet, so elamei ata, so we'll say, so now that we've said that, let's analyze this. Hakol sumchin, echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim. So we'll say, remember again, another example. Everyone does smicha. Everyone does smicha. So we'll say, what is this a reference to? So remember again, this is, we've learned this already, Menachos. Certain animals require smicha, require a leaning procedure prior to going ahead and their offering. Everyone does smicha. Echad ha'anashim ve'echad ha'anashim. Both men and women. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami delav lechatchila." So you're going to say, "So again." So based on the model that we have right now, what does it sound like? If it says "Hakol chayavin," then what does that mean? Lechatchila, right? And if it just says "Hakol," sounds like bidyavet. That's kind of where the Gemara is holding right now. "Hakol chayavin" is lashon lechatchila. "Hakol" by itself is bidyavet. Okay. Well, if that's the case, "Hakol somchin." So we'll say, "So Hakol somchin." Therefore, how do I interpret that phrase? Bidyavet. Says that true? So hachinami delav lechatchilo, is that true that lechatchilo is an obligation of smicha? V'aksiv v'samach yado v'nirtza. We'll say the pasuk says explicitly, he shall place his hand on the carbon and it will be atoned for, it will be accepted. Which indicates to us what? that smich rabosei is lechatchila. So you see now here a case of what? Of hakol, which is lechatchila, even though it's not modified by chayovin. So what is going on here? To which the Gemara says, here we go. So the Gemara says, in you're right. Ika hakol lechatchila, v'ika hakol diavid. Ah, we could have saved ourselves so much time, rabosei. Right? So much time. But here's the beauty. The beauty is sometimes, you know, the resolution is obvious, but you nevertheless have to go through the process of working it through. Through the Gemara says, you're right. Sometimes hakol means lechatila, and sometimes hakol means bidi'evet. Right? You're right. Sometimes it just means both. Right? Depending on the context, hakol could be lechatila, hakol could be bidi'evet. So we'll say, now we come full circle. Ela hakol dehacha mimai de lechatilo. So we'll say, so remember again, the way we started the interpretation of this Gemara, right, is Hakol Shochtin Lechatchila. So we assumed that the Hakol Shochtin of our Mishnah is a Lashon of Lechatchila. It's a Lashon of Lechatchila, to which the Gemara, and again, remember, we're not even sure exactly who we're talking about, but whoever this group of Hakol people is, which let's assume for now it's everyone, these people are permitted to Shech Lechatchila. So the Gemara asks the following, Ela, Hakol Dehacha, Mimai De Lechatchila. Ultimately, again, I will say, before we go on, by the way, I just want to point out something very interesting to you. Just pause here for just a moment. So, the Gemara said before, I forgot to mention this earlier. So, the Gemara said before that halacha lemaisa, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's good to make a neder if you're going to carry through on it, that was only if you said what? What kind of neder? Harezu, not hare alai. Tosis, the top Tosis on Amud Beis, Aval Omar hare alai, points out a very interesting exception to this. If you take a look at the last six lines of Tosus, Tosus says, V'im tomar, v'haksiv, v'yidar Yaakov neder, uksiv asher nadalti ashalima. See, I will say, here's the problem. We seem to find an explicit example of a great person making a neder. Right? Yaakov Avinu makes a neder when he's fleeing from Esav. He makes an eder, right? In Yalo Kimim Adiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with me, gives me food to eat, beged, lilbosh, vayali, leilo kim liom, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be my God. So you see, Yaakov Avinu made an eder. Yaakov Avinu made an eder. So what's the pshat? So also, Satosa says something very important. The Yesh Lomar, Dibishas Tzara Shari. Rabbi said it is permitted to make nedarim in difficult times. When a person is in a dangerous situation, that is a time where lechatchila you are permitted to go ahead and make a neder. The Gemara says, "Kidamina b'breishis Rabba vayidar Yaakov neder lemor lemor ledoros shunodrin be'is tzara." Both say Yaakov Avinu gives us a paradigm. The paradigm is when you are in trouble, absolutely start making deals with God. When you are in trouble, you absolutely make nedarim be'ez tzara. So we'll say, this is amazing. And everyone agrees that that type of neder is not only okay, but that type of neder is absolutely permissible and may even be desired under those circumstances. Where do we learn that from? We learn that from none other than Yaakov Avinu himself. See, even Rabbi Yehuda says, incredible. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even though I like Nedarim, I only like Harezu Nedarim. Even Rabbi Meir says, I don't like Nedarim at all, will agree that Nedarim Be'ez Tzara are absolutely permitted. Incredible idea. So we'll say, so back to the Gemara. So rather, again, says the Gemara, Elohacha, Elohacha, but say, how do we know that hakol shochtin means lechatchila? Now watch this. I'll tell you, Gemara says, well, we're going to work. This is really a great Gemara because we're going to mamish work through the words of the Mishnah. The tikshi lecha dilma diavenu. Maybe you'll say that hakol shochtin means bidiavet. Because Rabbi said, we've seen before that hakol under certain circumstances means bidiavet. So maybe hakol over here also means bidiavet. So Gemara says, velo tikshi lecha dilma diavenu. Velo tikshi lecha amar lei. So we'll say, see, here's the problem. The problem is, hakol shochtin by itself, you want to interpret that as bidi'evet. Okay, I don't have a problem with that, because as we just established, hakol could either mean lechatchila or bidi'evet. The problem I have is with the next phrase, because how does the Mishnah read? Hakol shochtin u'shchitasan k'shera. Ana shchitasan k'shera kashili. My problem is with the phrase shchitasan k'shera. Midiktani shchitasan k'shera di'evet. See, I both say, the one thing you can't disagree on is the lashon of shchitasan k'shera. I will say is what? is b'di'evad. How do I know that shechitas and kshera? Because Rabbi says shechitas and kshera is an ex post facto statement. Shechitas and kshera means if they shechted the shechitas kasher. That's always a lashon of b'di'evad. So we know for sure that that is a lashon of b'di'evad. Michlal dehakol lechatchiluhu di'di'evad tarti di'evad lamali. So Rabbi says, see, following this. If you hold, it's one of these, I feel like we haven't had a Gemara like this of working through Alashon Mishnah such a long, it's very exciting. So what we have over here is, here's what we know. I know the second phrase of the Mishnah, of Shechitas and Kshera, I know that that is a Lashon of B'di'evad. That we know, and that I'll say, no one could argue on. So now they know that that's B'di'evad, my shayla is, what do I do with Hakol Shochtin? If you're going to tell me that Hakol Shochtin is B'di'evad, then I'll say I have a problem, which is what? Why do I need two Lashonos of B'di'evad back to back? So it must be Elamai, it must be that Hakol Shochtin is Lechatchila, Ushchitasan Kshira is B'di'evad. It's B'di'evad. So Hakol Shochtin, there's some group of people that if they shech this Lechatchila, Ushchitasan Kshira, and apparently either there's another group, or other circumstances in which if they shecht are b'di'evad. Fine, now we have to just simply iron out the details. So it says the Gemara, here we go. Amar Rabba Bar Ula. So Rabba Ula says, Hachi Katani. This is what it means to say. Hachi Katani. Hakol Shochtin. I'm going to say, here we go. Hachi Katani. Hakol Shochtin. Everyone is permitted to shecht. Va'afilu Tamei B'chulin. So we'll say, who does Hakol Shochtin? The L'chatchila phrase, everyone is permitted to shecht. Who does this come to include? Even someone who is tamei, who has a right to someone who's tamei has a right to shecht a chulin animal. So the Gemara says, tamei b'chulin may lememra. It will say, of course, someone who's tamei could shecht a chulin animal, right? It will say, chulin does not have to be done in a state of tara. So at the end of the day, of course, someone who is tamei could go ahead and shecht a chulin animal. Why does the Mishnah need to teach me that? Oh, listen to this, may lememra. B'chulin shenasu al taras hekdish, or al taras hakodesh. So listen to this. We're talking about someone who has made the commitment to eat even his chulin food with sacrificial standards. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shenasu al taras hekdish. Shabbos say it's like right about 10 lines before the lines get wide in Rashi. Shenasu al taras hekdish. V'kibel alei le'achol b'taras kodesh. Shabbos say there were people historically who took upon themselves to eat even their chulin food with sacrificial standards. Why would someone do this? Rashi says, "Sha'arotza laharga asma b'taras kodshim shem yochav shlomo toldi yebaki b'shmirasa." So we'll say there are people who did this. There are people who ate even their chulin with sacrificial standards. Why? Now the truth is, it probably makes the most sense that the people historically. I don't know this to be true, but it sounds like the people who would do this would be who? Would be kohanim. Right, because kohanim, you'd have to be careful about having like two different sets of standards of eating. Right, I eat my chulin one way, I make kachim one way. It's easy to think that chas v'shalom they could become negligent with their kachim. So it could just very well be they ate everything in a state of tara. I don't know that to be true. There could have been other people who were kohanic wannabes who did this also. You know, they just want to whatever, or people who are just trying to go ahead and exact from themselves a high. Whatever the mitzias is, it doesn't really matter all that much. The point is, we know that it happened. There were people who ate their chulin. B'taras kodesh. Now watch this. V'kasavar, chulin shenasu ataras hekdish k'kodesh dami. And Abba say we hold that what? That halacha l'maisa, if you go ahead and you eat your chulin k'taras kodesh, we apply all the standards of hekdish to your food. Rashi says k'kodesh damu v'chayiv li bodli midrabanan mikol tumas apsulos b'en. Now watch this. So here we go. This is really amazing. So we'll say, so now what we're saying over here is like this. We're trying to figure out Hakol Shochtin. Hakol Shochtin is Lechatchila. Who is Lechatchila referring to? Who's it referring to? To which the Gemara posits, who is it referring to? Even someone who is Tamei is able to Shecht Chulin. What type of Chulin? Chulin Shenasu Betara. The type of chulin that are eaten in accordance with carbonic standards. What's the case? I still don't understand what the case is. Here we go. So both say, Maven sakin aruka, v'shochet ba, kedesh lo yiga babaser. Let's say, now watch this. Now remember, under normal circumstances, someone who is tamei cannot go ahead and shecht karbanos. If you're tamei, you can't shecht karbanos, right? That's obvious. So I might have thought that if I'm a person who eats my chulin b'taras kodesh, I eat my chulin in accordance with karbanic standards. Therefore what? Someone who is tamei should not be able to shech that karbanic. Because we'll say, should not be able to shech that animal. Because we're concerned that what? He's going to come to touch it. And that's going to potentially convey tumah. So we'll say, so says the Gemara, what is the Mishnah coming to teach me? Hakol shochtin. L'chatchila, a person who is tamei, is permitted to shech chulin. Now, obviously, for regular chulin, I don't need the Mishnah teaching that. What type of chulin? Chulin shenasu b'taras hekdesh. Aye, but how could someone who is tamei go ahead and shecht chulin that are prepared in accordance with sacrificial standards? Very simply, with what? A long knife. Right? You have a long knife, you can do a lot of things. Right? So we'll say, so what does a long knife allow you to do? It allows you to shecht at a distance. It allows you to shecht at a distance and ensure that what? And ensure that halacha lemaisa, you don't come in contact with the animal. So therefore, again, he's shechting at a faraway distance, doesn't have the ability to come in contact with the animal. The Mishnah is telling me to lechatchila that is permitted. Lechatchila, someone who is tamei could shecht chulin that were prepared ultimately again with taras kodesh, as long as you used a long knife. However, ubimukdashin lo yishchot. Rabbi will say, when it comes to mukdashin, when it comes to a consecrated animal, real kodesh, one should not do this at all. Why? Shema yiga babasar, lest you come to go ahead and actually come to touch the meat. So again, apparently it sounds like that even if you're using a long knife, we still don't want a tamei person coming anywhere near shechting karbanos, lest he go ahead and touch the meat. Vim shachat, but I both say, if a tamei person did an actual sacrificial animal, va'omer, and he says, bari li shalom agati, shchitas al kshira. Then his shchita is kasher. Chutz, so we'll say, so you hear how we're reading the Mishnah? Watch this. So hakol shochtin is very exciting. Hakol shochtin means what? Hakol shochtin means that who? That a person who is tamei could go ahead and shecht what? Chulin shenasu b'taras kodesh. Hikel lechatchila shecht, a chulin animal that was prepared in accordance with sacrificial... That was prepared with right sacrificial sanctity. He could go ahead and check that animal. But say how? How with what? With what? With a long knife. Lechatchila b'di'evad. It's one that's right here, 50-50. Right, lechatchila. He could shecht a chulin animal that is prepared b'taras kodesh, even though he is tamei with a long knife. That's hakol shochtin. Israel would say, but lechatchila, what can't he do? He can't shecht a sacrificial animal, even with a long knife. However, what if he did? What if a tamei person shechted a sacrificial animal with a long knife? But he says what? I know for sure I didn't touch it. Shchitas and kshera. Was he had to read the Mishnah? Shchitas and kshera. His shchita is kasher. Bidi eved, the shchita is good. However, we're just reading the Mishnah. Chutz mechiri shot of a cotton. I will say, but with the exclusion of a chiri shot of a cotton. Da'afilu bichulin greedy di eved namilo. Because I will say, chiri shot of a cotton. Even with a regular chulin animal, they are not trusted to go out and do a proper shchita. Why? Shema yishu, shema yidrusu, v'shema yachlidu. So we're going to see this actually very exciting later on. Chulin is one of my favorite masechtos. So we're going to get into again the psulim of shchita, drisa, shehia, yachalada. So we're not going to get into this now, but these are all the different psulim in shchita. So with a cheresh shot of a cotton, what we're concerned about over here is that, the problem with shchita is that, technically speaking, shchita could be disqualified and you won't be able necessarily to see that it's botched. Because there are certain ways to cut, we'll see the two simanim of the animal, that after the fact will look like they were cut, but in the process could have actually been torn instead of cut. So the Mishnah therefore tells me, when it comes to a cheir shot to the cotton, they're out. Meaning we can't have them do anything simply because we don't know if they did it right. So watch this. So now what we've done successfully in the Mishnah is very exciting. What we've done successfully in the Mishnah so far is we've defined the phrase of hakol shochtin, referring to the tamei individual who is shechting chulin shenasu bekodesh or betara with a long knife, telling us the chatchila can do that. Shechitas and ksheira, which is the bidyavet case, that tamei person the chatchila should not shecht kachim even with a long knife. But if he did so and said for sure that I didn't touch the animal, it's kasher. Chutz mecherishat v'kan, cherishat v'kan cannot shecht under any circumstances. Why? Simply because they don't have reliability. Now I will say, what about that last phrase in the Mishnah? Anyone who shechts and others see their shechita will be good. What does that refer to? If you want to say that it's talking about chayru shot of a cotton, then I will say, even though we said a chayru shot of a cotton can't shecht, but if someone is watching them and saw that they did a good shechita, the shechita will be kasher, that can't be alokai. So the Gemara says, "V'ileima achiru shot v'kan alokai v'imshachtu mibayle." The Rabbi will say, then the Mishnah should be a continuation and should say, "V'imshachtu," and if they shechted v'achirin ronos and others see them, then it would be a continuation. But it doesn't say that. The Rabbi will say, instead, what does the Mishnah say? "V'kulan sheshachtu," which sounds like what? It's not a continuation of the previous phrase. Rather, it's something else. To which the Gemara says, "V'imshachtu mibayle elo." Atamei bechulin. Rather, I will say what that must be referring to is the person who is tamei, who is shechting chulin animal that was consecrated betara. So the Gemara, or that was prepared betara. Ha amrit lechatchila nami shachet. We already said about say that person who is tamei and now shechting a chulin animal, even though that chulin is prepared betaras kodesh. We already said that that person who is tamei lechatchila is permitted to go ahead and shecht the chulin animal as long as he's doing it with a long knife. So the Gemara says ella atamei b'mukdashin. Rather, Rabbi Yosef, what we must be talking about over here is a tamei person who is going to shecht a real sacrificial animal. And what happens? What are we saying? So the Gemara says, it sounds like it's saying, that maybe the Mishnah is telling me, that although the chatchila we don't want that person shechting the animal, if other people are standing on top of him, right, above him, and watch the shechita, should be good. I don't need that. Why? But barili sagi. Ultimately, Rabbi Yosef, we said that the person who is tamei, who shechts a sacrificial animal, and what? Of his own admission, says, I never touched it, that such a shechita is going to be good. To which the Gemara says, delese kamam dineshaile. What's the case of? I'll say the case over here is where we know that a tamei person shechted a sacrificial animal. And what's the problem? The problem is he's not here. He left town. But I will say, but there were other people who saw his shechita, and if we ask them, and they testify to the validity of the shechita in this case, that he did the shechita correctly, and what? He never touched, he never came in physical contact with the animal, the shechita will be good. The shechita will be good. To which the Gemara says, Hi, Tami b'mukdashin, mehachanafka. Rabbi say, do we learn out from here? Is this Mishnah of the source? Ultimately, again, that someone who is Tame has the ability, bidi eved, to shecht a sacrificial animal as long as he is absolutely sure that he did not come in contact with it? Mehasam nafka. Rabbi say, we learned this out from elsewhere. Kol psulin sheshachtu shchitasan ksheira. Rabbi say, the Mishnah says that all the psulin, anyone who is possible who shechted, their shchita is good. Shashchita ksheira, bizarim. Binoshim, ba'avodim, ubitmeim. Because they will say, we know that shechita of a sacrificial animal is good with non-kohanim, women, avodim, and tmeim. Va'afilu b'kodshei kadoshim. Even if also with highest level sanctity. Ubilvad, shelo yu tmeim. Nogin babasar. As long as what? The person who is tamei does not touch them. So we see that we don't learn out that concept of tamein from here, from our Mishnah Chulin. In fact, we learn it out from the Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? In Zvachim. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Hacha ikur. So the Gemara, Hacha ikur. Hasam, I, Shabbosai, you're right. Really, the primary halacha is learned out over here from Chulin. Hasam, I did the Tana Sharp Sulin. Tani nami tamim mukdashin. Bosai, in the Mishnah and Zvachim, it's only because we brought the other psulim that they bring down tameim. But really, the fact that a tamei could go ahead and shecht is not lechatchila vibay seima. But the other possibility is hasam ikar debikachim kai. So bosai, or the other possibility is no. The Mishnah Maseches Zvachim is the primary source. Hacha aidi de tana tamei bechulin tana nami tamim mukdashin. Rabbi say, really the primary source for this halacha is the Mishnah Zvachim. Here it's just brought down secondarily. Once you bring down tamei bechulin, we also bring down tamim mukdashin. So we'll say, just a quick recap, and then we'll have to stop here for today, unfortunately. So we'll say, so again, at the end of the day, the way we are interpreting the Mishnah, this was so dramatically amazing. The way we're interpreting the Mishnah is how? Hakol shochtin refers to who? We'll say, so this is the approach of the Mishnah. Hakol shochtin means that even someone who is tamei has the ability lechatchila to shecht what? To shecht a chulin animal that is prepared, what we call bataris kodesh. There are people who ate their chulin in a state of ritual purity. They ate their chulin like one would eat karbanos. So the Mishnah teaches kol shochtin, even someone who is tamei lechatchila has the right to shecht that type of chulin animal. Aye, how does he shecht it? How does he shecht it? Long knife. Long knife. Ushchitasan ksheira. Shchitasan ksheira means what? Means what? That ultimately against such a person whose tameh should not shecht a sacrificial animal, right? But if he did, and he says what? Barili, I'm sure that I never touched the animal. What's the halacha? B'diavet shchitasan ksheira. Chutz mecheresh shota vekatan shemei kakulu shchitasan. But however, again, cheresh shota vekatan, they can never shecht. Why can they never shecht? Because Rabbi say we assume they are incompetent. They cannot carry through again on the details of the shechita properly. V'kulan sheshachtu v'achir norna shechitasan k'sheira. And Rabbi say, and all of these people who shechted, and others saw their shechita, the shechita is good. What does that refer to? It refers back to the first case. To the second case. It refers to the tummy individual who shechted a karban. And what's the problem here, Rabbi say? What's the problem? He left town. So we can no longer ask him, are you sure you didn't touch the animal? In that case, as long as there were others who testified to the efficiency and effectiveness of his shechita, ultimately, again, the shechita will be kasher b'diavad. I want to make a suggestion. As you might have noticed, we move in Daf Yomi at a very quick pace. And it's difficult sometimes to go ahead and kind of hold kap gemara. I would just suggest, if you take out 10 to 15 minutes in your evening, just to go ahead and do a read through on the daf. Right? Do a read. You have to relearn the whole daf, but just to do a read through on the daf, it's an incredible mechanism of chazara, just to refresh your mind at the end of the day with the concepts. 10 to 15 minutes investment goes ahead and really solidifies that which we do here every single morning. All right,